WEW Mobile.
Good afternoon, Ben, W4DJW.
I am out and about and decided to throw a call out on the radio.
I just came in from taking the dogs outside. They stayed out in the sun. They love the sunshine out there. I have to find shade. It gets hot for me in a hurry.
I'm running a few errands between meetings, and how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Working on a logger program that reads the airplane log, flight logs after you land the airplane. The metrics come back to the transmitter from the receiver. The receiver in the airplane is a receiver and a transmitter, and it transmits tons of metrics back. And I'm writing a log file analyzer so I can look at each individual battery cell. I can look at the speed and the altitude and the location, that kind of stuff. Keep an eye on what's going on. I hunted and hunted and hunted for one, and I couldn't find a decent one, so I decided just to make one.
What's the best way? And I'm assuming this is for the remote control airplanes, not like ADS.
Yeah, that's correct. It's for RC flight. Transmitter I got is called FreeSky, F-R-S-K-Y, and they write extensive logs. One of the FAA requirements is that you transmit your pilot's position and the airplane position at all times. And they included that metric in the logs as it goes back and forth between the airplane and the radio to satisfy that requirement. So you don't have to buy anything extra. If you got a GPS in your airplane, you meet the FAA requirements.
It's handling all the metrics for you because they had to code that in.
That's correct. That's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. And you can edit it yourself, and you can add stuff to it if you want. You can put your own. You can build a sensor out of an Arduino or an Arduino with another board, and you can send back your own data mixed in with their flight data. It's a pretty neat system. So it takes a pretty good logger to be able to untangle all of that stuff and present it in a graphical view. And it's also got the flight elevation and location, the GPS coordinates and its height and altitude. So I'm making a KML file right now that you can import into Google Earth, and you can visualize the flight in 3D, the whole flight from end to end, altitude, location, and speed.
Right now, that might be kind of scratchy, but you'd be able to feed into the Google Earth API and render that three-dimensionally?
That's correct. Yeah, you're not skipping out any. You're 100%. I don't know if I'm full quieting on you or not. Let me know. I can bump up the power if I need to. When you click on GPS as one of the metrics in the telemetry information, it's just going to write out a file, a KML file. And then you just double-click on it, and it opens up Google Earth, and it zooms to that location on Earth, and you've got a three-dimensional string. It's a what do they call that in Google Earth? A plot of data, polyline. It's a three-dimensional polyline for every interval that you tell the GPS to log, and I tell mine to log every second. So every second during the flight, I get a new set of GPS coordinates and a new altitude. So it's pretty smooth when you're going 60 to 100 miles an hour. Every second gives you a pretty good amount of distance between each point, so it's not too many points and it's not too little points.
Fascinating. So you can get a three-dimensional flight path instead of just a two-dimensional flight path.
Well, you can get both. In Google Earth, you can squash it all down to the Earth if you want to, so you can look down on it and see. You know, you're not supposed to, like FAA rules, not FAA, AMA, Academy of Model Aeronautics. They're the ones that supply you with insurance. So that if you crash into somebody's house, you've got $1 million worth of liability insurance that they'll cover you up to. But if you, with those logs, you can show if you, like, flew behind the flight line, which you're not supposed to do. That's against the rules. Or you can prove that you didn't.
You've got the data, like you said, to prove or disprove whatever is being held against you.
Yeah, but it's no good to you if you don't know how to decode it, or if you don't have. That's what I was looking for. It's like that ODBSD2 on the cars that has tons of information that's going through that CAN bus. It's it's really good information. You can learn a lot from it if you know how, if you have something to read it. But if you don't have anything to read it and interpret it, it's useless. So I was looking through the internet. I did find one woman that tried about 4 years ago to write one, and it is really clunky, and it crashes about half the time. And the thing's like 87 megs. It's huge. I think it's written in Python. So it's an interpreted language, so it's slow, and it can do small amounts of data. It can't do large amounts of data. So after about 3 days of hunting and coming up with nothing, I decided to go ahead and start writing one. So I've been working on it for about 3 days now.
So the ODB2 car interface is a good analogy for that, because you can, if you real-time ODB2 to a car and just set a laptop on the seat, you can pull in amazing data, but you have to know what it is and what you're looking for.
That is correct. That's what I've been doing today. When you ask how I'm doing good because I got all the metrics showing except for GPS. And GPS, that's a piece I'm working on it now. The KML file reverses lat and long. So I'm going in there, I'm pulling the data out of the flight log and plugging it into a template that is a KML file for a flight log. But I got to reverse the lat and long positions. When I first made one and I pulled it up, it put me in Antarctica. There's a cold down there.
So is it inverting the positive negative, like the north and south and the east and west?
No, it's just it's expecting a lat where the flight logger put the long, and it's expecting the long where the flight logger put the lat. So I'm just reversing the columns right now. Because I reversed them manually, and it came out right there at Foothills Flyers over here on Jordan Road and in Jug Factory Road, Sloan's Airport.
It's reversing the lat long, not the negative positive, or like the east-west. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, KML expects it one way, and they expect it the other way, so it's a really easy fix. Anyway, I was just sitting here writing that code. I heard you out there and thought I'd say hello. I don't hear you on here too much in the afternoon. You don't take off from work and go out and run errands very often, huh?
Things have really picked up at work, but now my youngest daughter's in day camp, so my wife does the drop off and I do the pickup. So I'm gonna try to jump on the radio a little bit in the afternoons. But things have picked up with work. I'm consulting with the Ministry of Health in Canada, specifically out of Quebec. So not only do I have my usual work and meetings and stuff, but it's all in French. So I have that layer of translation that adds complexity and time to everything. So it keeps me busy during the day.
Well, that would be fun. That's my second language. I had to learn that before I went over to France. But it's a little different. It's the French Canadians a little bit. It's a different dialogue than France French. So I've talked to those people before, and I look at them kind of funny, and they look at me kind of funny, kind of like a northerner talking to a southerner down here. But anyway, it is pretty cool. Well, that is nice. I had to do the same thing when my granddaughter came to live with us. It was about the same time I started working from home 4 out of 5 days a week, and I had to take my granddaughter, I had to fix her breakfast, take her to school, and pick her up from school. So I had to schedule my meetings around when she was going to school, when she was coming home from school.
Yeah, I get that. Especially, at least you got to schedule the meetings, and you didn't just have people throwing meetings at you.
Well, they could throw them at me. But I tell them, I'm picking up my granddaughter at that time. If you want me to get on in the car, I can do that, but I'm not going to be in front of a computer and they'd reschedule.
I've noticed usually people will be flexible about that, but I refuse to put Microsoft Teams on my phone. So if I'm in the car, I'm not on a work call.
That's wise. That's wise not to have it on there. I had it on mine for a while. But then when I retired, all that stuff came off of. I think there might be a few remnants of it left, because, you know, there's so many because of the security and stuff. But for the most part, I think I got most of that stuff gone when I retired. That's one of the nice things about retire. How long you got to go before you get to retire?
Depends on the money. But I am 51, so I've got a ways to go.
Well, you and Patrick are about in the same boat there then, aren't you? Have you ever talked about that with him?
About Patrick, HKX.
Yeah, I think he just turned 50.
No, I haven't actually talked, like, careers and financial planning and stuff like that. It's, you know, we all kind of gravitate towards tech talk. But yeah, I may reach that subject with him sometime, and we can trade tips and tricks for, you know, strategies when you're 50, sort of the strategies as you go, because I'm still very aggressive in my allocations in my 401k and stuff like that. So, but I'll be dialing those back once I hit 60 and 65. My strategy is going to change, but I'm still aggressive, like if I were like a 25-year-old when it comes to 401k allocations and stuff.
That is good. I didn't get that way until the financial crisis of 2006 through 2008. And coming out of that, I thought, okay, this is opportunity. And that's when I got serious about it. But the rest of all of my life up before that time, yeah, I did 401k and I did all that. I just did whatever they recommended doing. I never really paid much of attention to it. But I got into investing and, you know, trading stocks and all that kind of stuff coming out of the financial crisis, just because I've heard so many people say in the past that not only are those things bad, you know, for a lot of people, but they're also opportunities. I mean, you can make it bad or you can make it good. It depends on your outlook.
The investment vehicles, you can make money whether the market goes up or the market goes down. It just depends on how active you are. I'm not a day trader or anything, but where you position yourself, hang on, the guy's signaling to me. I'm back. At the school here, they're pretty good about directing this traffic and this managing the parents as they come to pick up the kids.
That's the way it was with me. They made me put something in the window. I don't remember what it was, but I think it told them, I think my granddaughter had something on her, and I had something in the window, and they knew when she came out, and they lined the kids up with the person that was picking them up. It was pretty efficient way back then. I don't know if it's still like that or not.
The school, we do public school, but we do Christ Church for the day camp in the summers, just so, you know, the girls can see how the other half lives. And it's a very well-behaved car line because the guys that run the place and run the car line, they open carry. So the parents are very well-behaved in the car line. You don't see any road rage at all, unlike the public schools where it's just a free-for-all pretty much.
This sounds like a good idea, but yeah, because people do get hot-headed, and that'll make you think twice before you get hot-headed. Anyway, I know you got commotion going on there. I heard you out there. I just want to say hello. I'm going to get back to my coding, but it's good hearing from you. Take care. Hope to hear you out here more often now that you're getting out more during the day. KO4ZW, W4DJW.
I appreciate the ride-along, and I know how the coding hole can be, and it's a lot of fun to be in it. So, Don will be jumping in the car in probably about 3 minutes. So, again, thanks for the ride along. KO4ZEW, I will be clear.